is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, this is Ralph Gorman Winterroad coming to you live out of Alaska with the Ralph Winterroad Show, second hour. Talking about, we got a judge. Do you know why she can be sued? She has absolutely no jurisdiction. None. Been wanting to do this for years, and I wanted to been going in the federal court of claims. Both the same week. Talking about these public officers. I've been finding out all these things, been getting all this evidence that I discovered last hour. First of all, the legislature has to be residents. The governor just got to be a citizen of the United States. And a judge, has to be a citizen of the United States and the state. Three different qualifications for the same, quote, government. You think we might have a problem here? What is an office? Got that out of Giles Jacobs, and it was done by, what was his name here? He took the Giles Jacobs, the common law, which I have, by the way, which was changed. It was Tomlin in 1811. What is an office? They say they have an office. It is said that the term officium principally implies a duty. And in the next
curtains, carefully next monitoring place, the show as
the
it swiftly progresses.
Of such duty.
Total unbridled control is what the powers that shouldn't be won over you and everyone else in this world. Every madman throughout the course of history, every ruler,
will,
every emperor, Caesar, king, prince, Kaiser, pharaoh,
one man hath to do with another's affairs against his will. And without his leave, that is an office. And he that is doing that is a officer. They don't call them public officers. So it's where we empower somebody to do something against our will. That's what a government's about. Got to have the qualifications to be there. None of them have it in any of the states. Doesn't exist. Technically, they're not even in the federal side. It's all a con. What is a public officer? Because you say, oh, I got an oath of office. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Or you got an oath, usually. They usually just say oath. The best case is State versus Hawkins, Hawkins, and it's 251, P as in Paul, 42. It's the Supreme Court out of Minnesota, 1927. It's 257, P as in Paul, for Pacific, 47. After an exhaustive examination of the authorities, we hold that the following elements are essential in our position of a public officer, in such much as a public officer of the civil nature. It may be created by the Constitution of the United States, or by a municipal corporation, or by somebody, though not an authority, conferred by the legislature. Two, he must be a delegation of authority by the sovereign power of the people, to be exercised for the benefit of the people. Three, the power conferred and the power to be delegated, discharge, must be defined directly or implied by the legislature and by the legislature authority. Four, and the duties must be performed in accordance, independently, and without control by a superior officer other than by the law. And it must be five, permanency and continuance. The officer must take and file a official oath, hold a commission or other written authority, and an official bond if it required by the proper authority. That's what constitutes a public officer. Sheriffs, anybody like that, have to have oaths of office. They have to have a civil commission if they're elected, or they have to have they have to have a election of commission or of a certificate of election or a civil commission and a bond with their stuff. Some of them have bonds, but it's not their bond. We don't have any in Alaska. We don't have anywhere in any of the states. It doesn't exist. It's all a lie. It's all a con job. It's right in the statutes. And I've got to tell the state of Alaska, say, we don't do those. Really? So what do? Let me pull that up. So what they do in Alaska, I'll get rid of here, get back to it. They get around and they have something called a appointment letter. What is an appointment letter? Must be something really powerful, right? Most of them don't even have letterheads. Most of them don't have signature. They're just a stamp signature. And it says, I am pleased. This is coming from the quotes, Tony Knowles, the governor of the state of Alaska. I ran against him when I ran for governor. I am pleased you have accepted the appointment of a public or a Palmer Superior Court in the 3rd Judicial District. He's congratulating this guy. Thank you for your involvement in the pending application process. Your outstanding legal expertise, blah, 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 as a member of the Alaska Judiciary. And there's a stamp signature. He's congratulating me, but you're supposed to be the guy granting the civil commission. They call them appointment letters. I got a whole ton of them. There's nobody home. None. There is nobody home. So what do we have now for the judges so far? We have a judge that has no oath of office as a public officer under Article 12, Section 5. They all have an employee affidavit, except you can't get them. They all operate as the administrative districts for the Alaska Bar. They changed the name from 3rd District to 3rd Judicial District, even though the code says otherwise, so the statute. They all have a Rule 5 and Rule 64. They do that under penalties of perjury. So they cannot leave the bar and do constitutional law. And I have a copy of when we actually started off with the Supreme Court or a Superior Court of the state of Alaska with the real seal. Now, I was going to look up and see what it's called today now. They changed it. They just changed all this around. Not in the code, not in the statute, but guess what? It's all to do with the administrative part of the Alaska Bar Association. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. You just can't make this stuff up. I don't know what to say anymore. So I was finding all this stuff. No oaths of office. They're all wrong. No civil commissions. Nothing. And they changed the name of the court, and they changed the seals, by the way. They're just a generic seal now. I said, what the hell? And then I started looking into their what they can do in their rules of court. And if you're in a criminal, there's only a couple of things that they have to do, and they can flat out lie to you on a criminal issue. They don't have to do anything. I said, I can't make this stuff up. I said, who would hire an attorney? There's just a couple of things, whether you want to plead guilty or not, whatever, everything else, they can do whatever they want. And then the judge in their judicial code is doing law and facts. Well, what? It's a con. The whole damn thing's a con. And I've got all of it. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens. Because I have no idea what they're going to do. And the one that we're relying upon, let me pull that up. If you have no jurisdiction, you can be sued like anybody else. Absolutely. So we're going to go after this. Let me bring up this here jurisdiction. The Supreme Court case is Stump versus Sparkman. Stump versus Sparkman, Sparkman, and it is a 1978 case, Supreme Court of the United States, and that says a judge will not be deprived of immunity because the action he took was an error, was done maliciously or in excess of his authority, but rather he will be subject to liability only when he has acted in clear absence of all jurisdiction. Clear absence of all jurisdiction. Well, if you don't have any public or any jurisdiction because of the court, that's you're totally outside of all of the subject matter jurisdiction and all that. And you don't have personal jurisdiction, and we gave him what's called a actual notice, not just notice, or her actual notice of my status. I got one question for you. Just one, Judge. Kangaroo Judge. What is your evidence that I am a citizen of the United States? One question. They can't answer it. Why? How come they can't answer that question? Seems pretty straightforward. Because everything changed after the Civil War, and they got around and they did the Reconstruction Acts. They totally redid our republic, and they changed everything. It's not law, but we just don't know how to fight it. Let me bring, get up to one here that I was looking for a long time to see it in, to find the actual case on it. And I found it. The stuff is always there. It's just hard to find because they don't want this out. I found one on names between the all caps guy, because when they did, McAlpine's, they put in a plea on the factual part, his name is all caps. Everything else is upper and lower case, except when he's a doctor. Isn't that just amazing how they could do that? It's really amazing how they do that. And I went in and I looked in the government style manual, and there's no place for it. If you have a personal name or a personal noun for your name, it's supposed to be upper and lower case. There's only one place is by operation of law, and that's how they try to get around it. They don't, because, well, it's a government style manual. There's no authority for it. So why are you doing it? Because that is to distinguish our fictional commercial. But I haven't found it anywhere where you could actually, am I hearing feedback or something here? Where they can actually do that. Like I say, it's just unbelievable. Let me find this case here, because I found this, and I said, man, this is what I've been looking for a long, 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 long time. Golly gee whiz, I'll find it here in just a minute. And what it says is, since 1866, everything changed. A citizen of the several states, which is supposed to be the source of the authority, is no longer the source of our authority. No, it's no longer there. You've got to be kidding me. So where is the source of the authority today? Everything is upside down. Up is down. Everything is backwards. You just can't make this stuff up. Let's see this case here. One of them that's really important is talking about a citizen of the United States, and it's this case is it's called Field, F-I-E-L-D versus A-D-R-E-O-N, and it is 7 MD 209. That's probably not available to anybody except Westlaw. It's but what did they say? The former act uses the word citizen. And the question is, does it mean that a class of person who have all the rights of citizenship, or does it include those who have a commercial domicile but have not the political rights of citizens? We say the latter. It is clearly recognized distinction between citizenship for commercial purposes and citizenship for domestic purpose. The former may exist without the latter. So you can have a citizenship for commercial purposes, but you have no political. If you are a true citizen with all the rights, you have to have a political and you have to have civil. And they've got a separate one, which is for commercial purposes. Isn't that just special? Yep. And that's the game they play. And then how do we know all this stuff? How can we prove all this stuff? Because we've got to be able to prove these things. Can't just, we know a lot of this stuff is all screwed up, but you got to be able to put it together. And that's what I've been working on. I got so much stuff, it's hard to get it all assembled and make it make sense so that you can do it. But the killer that I found was the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. It says in their findings, it's codified today, and oh, back in a minute. ¶¶
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this was one I was looking for. It is 1871. It's out of the Circuit Court of South Dakota, Alabama. So it's the Constitutional Court, and it's 1871, and it's 26F period CAS period 79. What they used to do is, they would call these federal cases, so it'd be F period. So this is 1871. This is a killer. When I read this, I said, this is what we've been looking for. By the original Constitution, citizenship of the United States was a consequence of citizenship in a state. By this clause, this order of things is reversed. Citizenship in the United States is defined. It is made independent of the citizenship of a state. And citizenship in a state is a result of citizenship of the United States. What the hell? So now you got to be a citizen of the United States to be a citizenship in a state. So that person born or naturalized in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction is, without reference to a state, constitutional laws entitled to the privilege and immunities secured by the Constitution of the United, by the Constitution of the United States to citizens thereof. They reversed everything. So after the 14th Amendment, because we started off the Declaration of Independence, we had the colonies, United Colonies, then we called them United States, then we had the Articles of Confederation, which had no executive, no judicial power, but had legislative. We had a constitution for the United States of America called the Constitution of the United States for a more perfect union that gave us three separate branches, independent branches, legislative, judicial, executive. Then all of a sudden we come along and the 14th Amendment did change nothing. Supreme Court has said so over and over. But yet all of a sudden I am a citizen of the United States and I'm a resident of a state. Well, what happened to the several states? What happened to the citizens of the several? How did everything get turned? It says here everything got turned upside down. How did that happen? It's a big con. Because we don't know any better. And then they went ahead and got rid of all of our constitutional courts, and they went to the rules of court, trump all statutes, and we got agencies, the headless fourth branch of government. It's just a on and on and on, and pretty soon, how do you find out what's going on? That's what I'm working on. So you just can't make this stuff up. Like I say, I don't know what to say. All of us, our citizenship's changed with the 14th Amendment? No, it's just subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And a citizen of the United States, what can they do? What can a citizen of the United States do? Can you escape it? No. Not if you want to, if you don't understand the con. This is in Cook versus TAIT. This is 1924. This is 265 U.S. 47. 265 U.S. 47. This guy was in Mexico. I've talked about this before. He went to Mexico. He's living down there. Supreme Court said, in other words, the principle was declared that the government, by its very nature, benefits the citizen. Benefits. You always got to be careful. Every time you get a benefit, watch out. You have no right to any remedies, things. So benefits the citizen and his property wherever found, and therefore has the power to make the benefit complete. Or to express it another way, the basis of the power to tax was not and cannot be made dependent upon the citizen of the, that's the location, physical, of the property in all cases, it being in or out of the United States. Nor was and cannot be made on a dependent of the domicile of the citizen being in or out of the United States, but upon his relation as a citizen of the United States and the relation of the latter to him as citizen. The consequent of the benefits is that the native citizen who is taxed may have domicile, and the property from which his income is derived may have a citizen in a foreign country, and the tax be legal. The government having power to impose the tax. So no matter where you are, if you want to be a citizen of the United States, well, let's go look at the District of Columbia. They use the same 1040. There's only citizens of the United States in the District of Columbia. They use the same 1040, the same W-2, same W-4, same 1099, same W-9s. All the stuff is all the same. And this says no matter where you be, even in Mexico, you're still hooked if you're a citizen of the United States. So how did they get us? Well, there's one important thing. Well, a bunch of them. We have 12 organic amendments in the Constitution of the United States, and those thereafter are only for citizens of the United States. 13th, 14th, and on up. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, well, we're back here. And, we just can't make this stuff up. About everything I thought I knew, I don't know. So we get around, and it's all the same. For the citizens of the United States, no matter where they're located, and it's the same for the District of Columbia. So it's obviously for citizens of the United States, you think? And then, of course, we can't discriminate. Oh, God, no, can't do that. We got a whole bunch of slaves out there, but do we discriminate over citizens of the United States? Oh, absolutely. If you're black, you get special things. If you're an Indian in Alaska, you get special things. In Dillingham, oh, the government pays your property taxes. You don't have to. You can go out and pick up ivy. Paleface can't. Indian can. You can go out and kill a moose out of season for potluck. Somebody dies. Paleface can't. All kinds of special things. They have special things on these gambling, but yet they're all citizens of the United States. Wait a minute. Somebody's being discriminated against somebody else. You think? Sheesh. Oh, it's worse. This case, very revealing when I found this case. This was this is a Supreme Court case. I've talked about it before. HEALD versus the District of Columbia. HEALD. And it's 259 U.S. 114. 259 U.S. 114. Finally, it is earnestly contended that the act is void. What are they talking about? Taxation without representation. We have been brainwashed. You can't have taxation without representation. Really? You know, back in Alaska and the territory, the only people that got to vote on property taxes were the people that own property. You think that might be a good thing? Now we have people that aren't even part of this country voting on property taxes. And they want to have a census without having any citizenship. How crazy can you freaking get? It says, finally here, it is earnestly contended that the act is void because it subjects the residents of the district, those residents of the state, same thing, to the taxation without representation. Residents of the district lack the suffrage. You have no right as a qualified elector on the right of suffrage or the elective franchise to lack the suffrage and have politically no voice in the expenditure of the money raised by taxation. There is no constitutional provision that so limits the power of Congress that taxes can be imposed only by those who have political representation. Is that a shocker? How about very few people know that? Do you know why? Because you see, the citizen of the United States is made up. It's different than the citizen of the United States that was in the initial Constitution. This one came about when they reconstructed our republic. And guess what? We have the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. Do you know that the 10th Amendment doesn't apply? What the hell? Did you know that the 10th Amendment doesn't have any application to a citizen of the United States? Well, who does it have actually? 1 through 12 was only for the citizens of the several states, or people of the several states, and the several states. That's who the 10th Amendment's. It has nothing to do with the 14th Amendment nonsense. Citizen of the United, they just made it up. Because guess what? You have no right to say what kind of government. You have no right of suffrage. No elected franchise. 15th Amendment says so. You got the, it doesn't have anything to do other than when you come up to the building, you can't discriminate for to go to, quote, vote. But when you get in the building, the only authority is if you're a citizen of one of the several states. They print it, and the Supreme Court has upheld it. Have they told you that? Oh, it gets worse. Because you see, under the Voter Registration Act, these guys are getting so good as they see, they keep making stuff as they get us brainwashed, you know, go from one generation to the next. Well, you know, it's accepted practice and yada, yada, yada. Findings. 52 U.S. C. 20501. The Congress finds that the right of citizens of the United States to vote is a fundamental right. To vote! Not the elective franchise, not suffrage. Then they go to the definitions. Oh, this is good. This was really an interesting. The term state, in quotation mark, means. That means a whole brand new definition. You've heard me talk about that before, like cat means dog, cat means rabbit. By the way, I saw my first snowshoe rabbit up here, or in Alaska, out here. Anyway, the term state means state of the United States. That means that this state is subservient to and under the United States and the District of Columbia. So a state of the United States and the District of Columbia are the same. That doesn't work out right because the District of Columbia is not the same as the several states because of the federal courts in the several states have a limited jurisdiction. The one within the District of Columbia is a general jurisdiction court, totally different, can do any frickin' thing they want because they're under the plenary power of Congress. Oh, but it gets better. With this new definition of state, the term, this is on number two, the term, quote, federal office means, has the meaning stated in Section 52, Section 30101, number 3. So you're only voting for a federal office. Of course, this is one of the things they always do with these code things. They always link stuff together instead of putting it all together. So you got to go look at another one. So we go look at 52 USC. So the 1993 National Voter Registration Act in Title 42 is only for federal offices. And who's that? Who's number three? That term federal office means the office of the president or vice president, comma, or of senator or representative in or delegate or resident commissioner to the Congress. To the Congress. Senator to the Congress. Federal office. So wait a minute here now. Where's the election for state officers? Oh, that is an amazing thing to find out. We don't have none. Well, wait a minute here. How can I have a public officer if we don't have any elections for them? They print it. And in North Carolina, it is a felony to claim that you're anything other than a citizen of the United States. Well, how do I get it? How do I work in today's world and fight this stuff? First of all, you have to get your status in as a citizen of one of the several states in the public record, evidence rule 901, number 7, self-authenticating. Can they say I'm a citizen of the United States? They will not address it because they can't. Why? 18 United States 9/11 say if you claim to be a citizen of the United States, that's a felony unless you can prove it. Can the courts determine you're a citizen of the United States? Nope. 22 USC 2201. They cannot make a declaratory judgment that you're a, quote, individual, which is a citizen of the United States. That's defined under 5 USC 552A2. They can't make it. They can make a determination if you're a 501c3 taxpayer, but they can't touch you because that would be unconstitutional. Well, how about 8 United States Code 1101A22B? That's on your passport. You go fill out one of those that says U.S. citizen. You go down to the bottom, and it says it's citizen/national. Go look at your passport. Open it up on the right-hand side. It says citizen/national of the United States. It's right there. But they don't want to tell us what it means, because the average person, how are we going to know all this stuff? This gets complicated, unless you've been doing this for a while. Gets right on the passport. It has to pass constitutional muster. So it's for the fictional citizen of the United States, and it's also for the real citizens of the several states. So what does it say? This is 8 United States Code 1101A, 22, there's a capital A and a capital B. Excuse me. So what do it say? Real clear. It says, the term, in quotation marks, national of the United States, in quotation mark, means A, a citizen of the United States, or B, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That's us. I'm domiciled in Alaska. I owe permanent allegiance to the United States, but I'm not a citizen of the United States. So how do we deal with this 1980 Title 42, 1983 lawsuits, and all this other nonsense? But you see, back in 14 Stat 20... 7 in 1866, which is still under the code in 42, United States Code 1981 and 1982, it says a citizen of the United States has the same rights as a white citizen. That was only for the blacks, the Negroes. That was the con to get it into the 14th. Of course, in 1870, they said, oh, by the way, we can naturalize you and make you a citizen of the United States of America, just like the white people. But we're not going to tell anybody that. And we're also going to get around and put under color of law in 1870. That was the beginning of 42, United States Code 1983. You can sue under the, got to be careful, if the character of a citizen of the United States. That's how they reach back into the first, second, and all those amendments, right to bear arms. You have the character you can assume the character of a citizen of the United States, but you're still a domicile as a citizen of one of the several states. Do they teach you this stuff? Of course not. Is it easy to keep up with? Nope. That's what I'm trying to work to get this stuff up, get it written up. And it's a lot of work. And I'm not complaining. Because I finally understand what happened. They turned everything upside down. Instead of being a citizen of one of the several states and then owing allegiance to the United States, they turned everything upside down with the 13th and 14th and all those and say, oh, we're going to make a citizen of the United States our primary citizenship, which has no right of suffrage, no elective franchise. You have no right to an Article III court. And you're accepting the benefit. We can do anything you want, anywhere we want, because we have plenary power. They don't tell you all that stuff, did they? And they print it. And then they go ahead with this National Voter Registration Act. We don't have any election for any state officers. Well, if you don't have any elections for state officers, you sort of how can have any public officers with an oath of office and all that. That's why all of every state, without exception, you start checking, you will find it will not pass muster. They're a municipal entity, just like the District of Columbia. And all of these United States district courts are star chamber courts. They're using the cruel trilemma. And that's what I'm going to stop here in, because what they do, they get you to confess. They always put in a declaration, without exception. They always put in some public record, the IRS does. And if you don't rebut all of it, they will play with you for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden you lose. With no sworn testimony in the court. Or they will force you out like they did Thornton. And they'll have record books and records, and they even say he's an inquisitor. He's there to ask you questions, but you can't ask him questions? How did that happen? Then the second one is, we got to get it under the penalties of perjury. But then the third one is, we'll find you in contempt of court like Thornton, which is what they're trying to do to Gladden. We're going to find you in contempt of court. We're going to put your butt in jail till you give me the answer to what I want you to do with no authority. None. But yet it's a lot of work to put this together to show these liars and thieves what they are. I couldn't make this stuff up. It shocks the conscience to me. If we could have got this far along and then nobody, these attorneys can't do it. Like Alaska, they can't do it because they will lose their job. They'll boot them out of the bar. They'll say, shut the hell up. Along with the con. Is this shocking? Boy, it sure is to me. Just can't believe that we have gotten this far. All based on lies. All based on lies. It's just, I don't know what to say. But we're going to have some fun with these people before this gets over. We're going to see if there's a habeas corpus that they don't know what to do with Rappert's case. And so we're going to see how that works out. Then there's a nice case here. this is, now let's see here. Let me get, that's not the right one that I wanted to get. Yeah, we must have a caller here. I saw my Skype did something here. Bill in Austin, question or comment?
Oh, yes. Hello, Ralph. I have one quick comment for you.
Okay.
Discussing the citizenship, the state, individual state versus the corporate federal U.S. citizen. This is in called the Clearfield Doctrine. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's the Clearfield Trust Company versus United States, where it says, summarized, governments descend to the level of a mere private corporation and take on the characteristics of a mere private citizen, where private commercial paper, in other words, Federal Reserve notes and securities or checks, is concerned. For purposes of lawsuits, such corporations and individuals are regarded as entities entirely separate from government. So basically what it's saying is the Clearfield Doctrine is when a private commercial paper is used in our courts or corporate government, then the government loses its total sovereignty status and becomes no different than a mere private corporation. So that might tie into exactly, because all our courts use Federal Reserve notes. That may tie into what
you're doing. Yeah, they all do. Do you know what happened if you go back to that? Because you see they got rid of the citizens of the several states with the 14th. People that got the people voting as citizens of the United States. Then we get down to the good old, let's see, let me pull up the Constitution here. Let me get that case here. They just changed one word again. One word in the 17th Amendment. Excuse me. Got something caught here in my throat. So they get around, and the Article 1, Section 2 says, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen by every second year by the people of the several states. They got to the several 17th Amendment. You know what they left out? Several. People of the states. So now we can define it. So once they got rid of the standing of the several states in 1913, all of a sudden, magically then, the people don't have any standing because they already think they're citizens of the United States. So immediately in 1913, what else? We get fictional debt money. And we also get, guess what? In the constitutional courts, they went from United States, which is the real party of interest, from 1789 to 1913. All of a sudden, now it's United States of America. And if you go look at every IRS case in the United States District Court, the kangaroo courts, it always says United States of America. You will not find United States. You only find that in the Federal Court of Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Just minor issues, just a word or two. This is what they're doing.
You had mentioned one more quick thing. You had mentioned about it goes back to the Civil War. Well, in 1862, President Lincoln printed the first government paper, the Greenbacks. So basically, the government descended to the level of a mere corporation in 1862 as well.
Well, that's part of it, right? They were doing greenbacks, but the thing is, we have two. See, that's one of the things that Trump talked about once, but he hasn't used it. All they got to do is start issuing Treasury notes and pay off the Federal Reserve and tell them to go to hell, and then get rid of about half of that debt, just bam. And that may happen, but Trump is there is so much stuff because they've been working on this for back to about the 1850s. So they've been working on it 150 years, and they just take a certain. I got it now. I can see where they did this, where they got rid of the courts, the rules took over, all these things now. And God, I could write a book. I could write probably a 2,000-page book documenting it. It's just amazing what these guys did. I mean, they just did it a step at a time. They do a piece here, and then they wait a little while, and then pretty soon they do another step. And then they wait a little while, then they do another step.
Yeah, an amazing amount of deception that's been compiled throughout the years.
Well, the thing that I compared it to, and I thought I really stumbled onto something when I finally got the big picture. I thought, well, I'll go to a preacher, and he says Esau. I mean, he's supposed to be a creature for looking for the truth. Esau gets around, and he gets rid of his birthright, which is property and his lineage, for some porridge and lentil beans. And his father blessed it by fooling him. I thought, great. Because God ended up hating Esau. I said, well, there you go. Our birthright. If you're in Texas, you are a citizen of Texas whether you want to be or not. And it can't be just like it was done to Esau. You have to excommunicate with the blessing of the government. That's why each one of these forms always got it in, I'm a citizen of the United States. Somewhere it's buried in there. I guarantee you. You're voting. That's why all these federal courts, they can't attach jeopardy until the judge will come out on the record. Is anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Well, they don't say anything. They don't even know what the hell it is. How would anybody know?
Well, a citizen of the United States is in commerce. So I heard you say that once before. He's engaged in commerce. Well, actually,
they put you into commerce and they give you an all caps name because the thing the devil can't do, he can't exactly copy what the Creator's doing. So we got an upper and lower case if you're in the right side of life, and you got all caps if you're in business. And you know the Supreme Court of Alaska even held that Uniform Commercial Code is a supreme law. I'm not kidding you. Commerce is the supreme law in Alaska. What's that tell you? It's going to be the same everywhere else. You got no rights to own property. You have no rights to anything.
Well, that's because we're using Federal Reserve notes, which is debt money. And when you use that, it's an IOU. You never buy anything. You can't buy anything with an IOU.
Yep. I got another caller here. I want to get him before we
go.
Right,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
Jack
you.
In Texas, you got a question or comment before we close it today?
Well, here we are again, Ralph.
I know you. I've heard that voice before. Go ahead,
Oh,
Jack.
Yeah.
I've had too much coffee today.
So I'm re-asking the same questions I've asked again. You used to always downplay, or not downplay, but you always said that you can't win with all cap stuff and all that.
You got to put things together.
Let me finish.
Okay.
I'm just saying that. Yeah, in times past, that was always kind of the background that you can't win with that, you can't win with Title 26. So, what has changed? What?
Because you have to put these things together and get to the core issue. The core issue is, why do I have an all caps name? It's because I am a citizen of the United States. That's why you have to establish that you're a citizen of Texas, domiciled in Texas. They can never find out that you're a citizen of the United States. It's all, that is the absolute bottom of the root of the tree. But you have to establish that, and the branches off of that are of the all caps name. You're in commerce under the UCC. You're in courts that aren't constitutional courts. These are all things that prove what a citizen of the United States is. Did you have no right of suffrage, no right of the elective franchise? You can't own property. The cars are all owned by the, you don't own your car. Nobody owns a car. Unless you got the manufacturer statement of origin. There's only a few people
right.
I know. So these are all branches. So if you look at it like a tree, the absolute root, you got to be a citizen of Texas, domiciled, get it into the public record. You got to try to vote for the Republic. Now you're good to go to fight.
Okay, I get that. Believe me, of all people, I get it.
Okay.
But what's changed? I mean,
the only thing that's changed is if I've added all, I've got to the absolute bottom of the root of this thing, of the citizen of the United States. The fact is that you have no right to vote. You have no right to the elective franchise. You got nothing. And that's the status that Congress and all these states are using today. These states don't even have the authority to do that unless they're like D.C. That was what changed when I found the National Voter Registration Act. They made them a state of the United States. Then I researched that, and here I got this great 1985 American Law Review. I forget the last number. That goes into great detail. She says there's no state officers. There's no elections for them. I said, you got to be kidding me. Well, I mean, it's shocking.
Right.
There's no public officers in Texas. None. It's
so before we hang up,
why don't you call me back here after? We got to go here, so we're out of time.
All
so
right.
Anyway, I hope everybody watch out for the federalists, and God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic.